While the Holy Spirit can be a very controversial subject, there is something wonderfully mysterious about it all. In recent weeks, we have heard, and we need to be reminded, that there is a consistent goodness present in the Holy Spirit to give life, to give rebirth, to heal, to refine, and to distribute the mercies of God in surprising places. Last week, we learned that there are seven symbols of the Holy Spirit: fire, wind, water, oil, dove, wild goose, and that Jesus, God born in the flesh, was born to a mother who was overshadowed by the Holy Spirit at conception, overshadowed like a cloud. Luke 4 tells us that years later in a synagogue, Jesus spoke these words from the prophet Isaiah: "The Spirit of the Lord is on me. I have been anointed to preach good news, set prisoners free, restore sight to the blind, and to release the oppressed." For 3 years, Jesus walked the earth with rank fishermen, prostitutes, and tax collectors. He ate with these friends. And while they walked dusty roads together, the disciples watched the astonished faces of the crowds while Jesus touched the untouchable, fed the hungry, healed and cared for the outcast, and healed all kinds of needs. Many were healed. Some were raised from death. Some turned around and began a new life, but not everyone. There were others, equally innocent women and men and children whom Jesus did not see or touch, who remained blind, lame, leprous, and addicted to the demonic. No doubt Jesus would have longed to reach out and to touch every suffering human being on earth had this been possible while he was here in his physical body. And in the short time that Jesus had in the physical body, he could only outwardly reach some. But with each healing Jesus performed, in effect, he was saying, "God's kingdom has come, and this is what it is like. These are the signs by which you will know it, identify it, and recognize its presence. When acts of caring, love, mercy, and justice are given and received, you will recognize that the kingdom of God is among you and that it is working its way throughout the whole earth." Jesus told his disciples this way of living was to become their way, that they would someday receive the power of the Holy Spirit, that they too would care, love, offer mercy, compassion, and healing in the same way he had, although when he said it, they had no idea what he was talking about. Jesus was not an eerie, otherworldly kind of God. He was human God. And even after his resurrection, Jesus was having the disciples touch his own wounds. He was grilling fish on the beach with them. But then, Jesus was not beside them in the same way anymore. He had left in a cloud. They carried on with things the best they could, trying to act as if nothing had happened. And then suddenly, one day, while they were sitting in their house, there was a sound of a strong wind. Flames of fire lit above their heads. They began speaking languages that none of those Galileans had ever heard or ever learned. Perfect strangers from the four corners of the world had to tell them that it was God they were talking about. The Holy Spirit fell upon them with wonder and power. It was disciple Peter, who had been pretty quiet up till now, stepped forward saying what was in his heart, responding to the Holy Spirit as it moved within him. Peter explains that nothing will ever be the same. This is the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. This means what Jesus has done is for everyone. Jesus is now living in everyone who follows his ways. The Holy Spirit is with and in each of us. And the people asked Peter, "What should we do?" That day, Peter's congregation came to see that Christian faith is not about beliefs, ideas, or doctrines. It is about a way of living. The Holy Spirit was in the same place as the Galilean disciples, and everyone with an eyesight saw it. Anyone who could hear, heard it. Anyone who was open to feeling anything, felt it. The people in that place were transformed that day. On our bulletin each week, we read Marian Mennonite's vision statement, and it includes the words being transformed by the Spirit, being. The ing indicates continuing, ongoing, becoming. Jesus promised his disciples that one day they would heal others in the way he had, and they did. And still today, we who follow Jesus are disciples. I wonder if healing has more to do with being open than being healed. Hear these words from John 9.
As he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" "Neither this man nor his parents sinned," said Jesus, "but this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. As long as it is day, we must do the works of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." After saying this, he spit on the ground, made some mud with the saliva, and put it on the man's eyes. "Go," he told him, "wash in the pool of Siloam." This word means sent. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. His neighbors and those who had formerly seen him begging asked, "Isn't this the same man who used to sit and beg?" Some claimed that he was. Others said, "No, he only looks like him." But he himself insisted, "I am the man." "How then were your eyes opened?" they asked. He replied, "The man they called Jesus made some mud and put it on my eyes. He told me to go to Siloam and wash. So I went and washed. And then I could see."
Blind from birth, Jesus separates the man's blindness from his parents' past. He quickly told his disciples this happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life. Then Jesus simply spit on the ground, made some mud with his saliva, and put it on the man's eyes. The man went to the pool of Siloam, washed, his eyes were opened. And he came home seeing, reclaiming the life of his body. "I was blind, and now I see." Life does not always give us what we expect or even hope for. Many of us know what it is like to be emotionally hurt by friends, family, or a spouse. Many know what it is like to live with a disorder, illness, or chronic pain that won't go away. In this world, our bodies endure sickness, pain, decay. Sometimes we abuse our bodies. Often we don't know why our ailments or accidents occur, nor does God promise that we will understand why. We all need healing in some way or another, and healing that only the Spirit of God understands and can give. When I was a little girl, I was told to sit up straight, not to slump or slouch or slide down the chair or let my shoulders sag. It seemed good posture was part of good manners, right up there with offering our seats to elders and not talking with our mouths full. As my age progresses, I am more aware of my body in new ways. Small aches, stiffness in the joints, I find myself revisiting those matters of good posture, along with exercise and a new appreciation of their relationship in the life of the Spirit, a way of living. In the past months, I have learned that the Holy Spirit still calls individuals to reclaim the life of the body. Early December brought my first fall through the ceiling of our garage to the concrete floor and left me with a broken vertebrae in my back. As I lay waiting for the ambulance to arrive, I felt the warmth of blood trickle from the back of my head. Things started to go hazy and dark, and I remember thinking, "Ooh, this is not good." But ever so quickly, another thought came to me. Connie, you often tell others to call on Jesus in time of trouble. Just do it. So there I laid, repeating over and over and over, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. A tremendous sense of peace came over me. I did not black out. To the surprise of the EMTs, I was able to clearly answer all of their questions. Since then, I have thought about that moment from time to time, filled with that sense of God with me, and also hoping that if any of the neighbors had heard me calling out Jesus' name, they understood it was the good Jesus I was calling on. 4 months later, after catching the toe of my sandal on the break of a bed, I again found myself lying on the floor, experiencing different but horrendous pain. My prayer this time was, Dear God in heaven, give me strength. A trip to the ER soon told me I would need a total hip replacement. During and through both of these incidents, hospitalizations, and times of healing, I experienced tender, loving care like I have never felt before. My sweet husband often gently kissed my forehead, and many of you are part of my healing story. You were simply there for me. You hung out with me in my pain. Two of you came to the emergency room. Two of you held the basin when I was sick to my stomach. There were encouraging visits, delicious food, beautiful cards, tender emails, hugs and flowers from my Sunday school class, phone calls. You combed my tangled hair, and there were constant reassurances of prayer. I am convinced that tender, loving care and prayers helped heal me. Your acts of caring, love, and mercy were the gift of the Holy Spirit to me. God's Spirit reclaiming the life of my brokenness through the love and care of others. In Jesus' day, during their pilgrimages, people stood and walked, stretched out their hands, washed their bodies in healing waters, washed each other's feet after a journey. The blind learned to see again and differently. My journey to recovery these past months has been a spiritual pilgrimage. There are still times when I have to say, Come on, Connie, get up and walk. I rise, bend my knees, and make sure my feet are on the floor, and all the time opening myself, making room for the Spirit that gives me life, keeps me stretching, adjusting, breathing, who gives me clarity, trust, open-heartedness, receptivity, hope, delight, and thanksgiving. I don't know if we understand the fullness of the Holy Spirit's miraculous acts of mercy if we only see them on the surface as sporadic healings here and there. There is a tremendous amount of information and data available, as well as hundreds of Bible verses regarding healing. I have taken classes on healing. My readings and learnings have taught me that God still works to heal people in ways that defy medical knowledge. It is never wrong to pray for healing, either for ourselves or others. It is never wrong to anoint someone for healing. That is what you and I can do. The rest is up to the Holy Spirit. A few years ago at a woman's breakfast, I was asked to be present for anyone who needed prayer. An elderly lady I had never seen before told me of her suffering. She asked me to anoint her with oil. I simply poured some oil on my fingertips, anointed her, and prayed with her. 2 years later, at a completely different event, at first I didn't recognize her as she walked toward me. She smiled big and said she had been hoping and praying for a time to tell me that after her anointing she was healed. While there is no magic in oil, it is a symbol of stepping out in trust in the power of the Holy Spirit to heal. At times, someone can be in so much pain that they simply cannot pray. And when they try, their prayers seem to fall with a thud to the floor. When they try to open themselves to God, they encounter a whole lot of nothing. The Spirit seems to have vanished, and all they have left are emotions entangled with pain, anger, and sadness. The truth is that when someone experiences illness and trauma, they cannot always muster the faith to think about God's promises for them, for themselves, and they must depend on other people to pray for them. For this very good reason, Scripture repeatedly urges Jesus' followers to pray for one another. We have heard of times that the Holy Spirit has melted a tumor within minutes or intervenes with the miracle of calming breathtaking pain, but not every time. We simply do not know why healing does not occur always, even to the most loving, God-centered people. Back in the 1970s, I had a wonderful friend, Donna. A devout Christian mother of three adorable little girls. And I remember the sickening feeling inside myself when I heard her diagnosis of colon cancer. I began to pray fastidiously, constantly, for her healing. Donna was creative, crafty. Even in her hospital bed, she was knitting and crocheting and painting, making small items for her caregivers. And I loved hearing her say, "I'm going to lick this thing. I'm going to make it through." And I never doubted that she wouldn't. Until the day of my phone call to check in on her, and she said, "My body is full of tubes, and I'm receiving morphine often. Please don't pray for my healing anymore. Just pray that I feel peace." The next week, I attended Donna's funeral. And still, all these years later, I wonder why. Why? I know we all have our moments of wondering why those we love are not healed. What I do know is that because of Donna's openness to the Spirit, the work of God was displayed in her life, even from her hospital bed. Healing is a process that remains with us as long as we are open to God's presence. And we can expect an awareness of the presence of God to break into our lives often because the Holy Spirit continually invites us to be open. Healing comes in different forms, from wholeness physically to the peace that only God can give. Many of you have heard of Johnny Erickson Tada. Johnny became a quadriplegic from a diving accident as a teenager. She wrote a lovely memoir about that story and about her relationship with God. Having lost the use of her arms, she eventually learned to paint by holding a brush in her teeth. Not surprisingly, a whole lot of well-meaning and enthusiastic prayer warriors often offered to pray for Johnny to be healed of her quadriplegia. And from her wheelchair, Johnny says to them, "I would love some prayer, but could you instead please pray for healing from the times when I cherish inflated ideas of my own importance? The times when I fudge the truth? The times when I manipulate my husband to get things my own way?" She goes on, "Ma'am, if you want to pray for me, pray that I receive the power of the resurrection to put to death the things in my life that displease God." And some might keep praying for a cure, but Johnny is opened to the Spirit working in her, physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. She is one of the most healed people I have ever heard speak, that the work of God might be displayed in her life. For a moment, imagine Jesus spitting on the ground, making mud, and putting it on your eyes. You go to the nearest lake, wash your face, and suddenly you see. You see within yourself all that needs to be healed. Physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually, you see it all. Let's be honest. Sometimes it's painful to be open, and healing can hurt. It's easier to hold on to the hurts of the past, easier to keep our own stuff deep down inside of us, easier not to see at all. And sometimes the really hard part is that there's not much self-determination left when we stand in the stark presence of Jesus as he sees us for who we really are, and he says, "Be open." Jesus is like that, insisting on our wholeness, me and you. "Be open," Jesus says. "Be open that your own brokenness does not need to be hidden behind someone else's brokenness. Be open to the idea that you are stronger than you think, and be open to the idea that you are not as strong as you think. Be open to the fact that you may not ever get exactly what you want, and that you will actually be okay anyway. Be open to the areas of life where the Spirit is convicting you to change your attitude or behavior. Be open to the idea that the Holy Spirit understands the hurt that kills you inside, but you have to act like it doesn't affect you at all. Be open to this whole gospel of Jesus / Holy Spirit healing thing actually being real and actually being for everyone, because maybe openness is what healing really is. Jesus destroys the idea that some are sick due to this reason or that reason and leaves us with, we are all children of God. The Holy Spirit is with us every moment of every breath we take, moving among us, desiring and causing us to be transformed, to be pulled out of our comfort zone, to do odd things in the name of love, to do radical things in the name of Jesus. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, we here at Marian Mennonite need to keep being transformed into the place that does all that stuff in the Bible. You know, feeding the hungry, welcoming the outsiders in, loving our neighbor, praying for the blind to see, and anointing the sick for healing. Open to the Holy Spirit, we become a community of people who do things differently. The Holy Spirit causes us to make sacrifices that other people shake their heads at, and gives us the ability to forgive others and to forgive hurts that others would never consider forgiving. The Holy Spirit causes us to love people that others believe are not worthy of love, causes us to give away our resources because we know that we have more than we could ever need, and because others are going without. And the Holy Spirit causes us to see others as God's created children rather than calling names and creating judgment. The Holy Spirit enables us to love and care for one another in such a profound and sincere way that people begin to gather, begin to peep in the doors and windows because they want to know more about us and about this love. With the Holy Spirit, we are given the power to be the ones to do life a little bit differently, ruled by love rather than our own self-interests. We are called to live a loving, humble, giving, odd life. We are called to help heal. And just in case we were sure we couldn't do it on our own, God sent us the Holy Spirit so that we would not have to. The same Spirit that has come to us and led us to this place at this time to be the church here in Chambersburg, Pennsylvania. Marian Mennonite Church, followers of the Jesus way, the church today, the church of hope for tomorrow, the church that seeks in every way to live the gospel in the world and in our lives, and the church who lives these words. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. Hear these words from James.
Are you hurting? Pray. Do you feel great? Sing. Are you sick? Call the church leaders together to pray and anoint you with oil in the name of the Master. Believing prayer will heal you, and God will put you on your feet. And if you've sinned, you'll be forgiven, healed inside and out.
Whatever is in you that needs healing, physical pain, your victimhood, unforgiveness, your political correctness, OCD, your pension, your attitude, addictions, whatever it is that you hold deep inside and won't allow out in the open, it can never love you like Jesus can love you. A Savior who knows well the healing that you really need and who opens your eyes to wholeness, that you are loved, that nothing else gets to tell you who you are. That's the Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ. The one who will use others to love you and use you to love others with the heart of Jesus. Last week's message closed with these words. Let us become keen and aware of this Holy Spirit moving among us. Let us stay awake, be alert. And this week I add to those words, be open, that the work of God might be displayed in our lives. If the Holy Spirit is moving in you and you need prayer for healing or would like anointing, Pastor Blaine and I would like to offer that to you this morning. We're going to have oil up here. We're going to stand up here during the time of singing. Come and receive what the Holy Spirit has for you. It may be for you a word in the wound, in the illness, in the ache. May you be made well. While the music plays and we sing, come if you would like anointing or prayer. All are welcome.